getting paid to watch the nation. Rolling.
Nineteen past the hour on the Tom Joyner Morning Show from New York City. My man Roland Martin, how you doing this morning, Roland?
Doing great, Skip. Good morning. Joining us this morning is Joe Oliver. He is the friend of George Zimmerman. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, Roland.
Great to have you here. Let's get right to the questions. First and foremost, how many conversations have you had with George Zimmerman with regards to what took place on the night of February 26th when Trayvon Martin was killed?
In total, since I spoke to him the first time Saturday, four.
Four conversations. Any of those conversations in person or by phone?
All by phone. I have no idea where he's at.
On the issue, one of the questions that came up is when you had been on television and you said, I'm not sure if he has said coon, if he has said goon. Have you specifically asked him? Have you asked him what did he say and what did he say?
He said he's never said coon in his life. That tape, and on top of that, he told me that they replayed the recording that's in question there, and to his recollection and what he heard, he said punks. So that just adds to all of the misinformation and trying to validify whatever is right, and you know, stuff's getting out there, then you've got to retract it and put the truth out there.
Well, here's the problem, Joe.
You know, all of it is coming out piecemeal. And unfortunately,
Joe, one problem.
Because of the nature of the investigation, because it is Sanford, Florida, and the history of Sanford, Florida, you know, that's where we're at today.
Joe, one problem here. He says, I said punks, but when you play it back, the letter C is that doesn't even sound like the letter P. And so I don't understand how he can say
it. I hear you, Roland. I hear you. And I've played it back and forth several times myself. And
so you're not even sure.
No, I'm not even sure exactly what he said.
Do you hear punk?
No, and that's the other thing. I did not hear that. You know, and I wasn't there when they played the recording for him.
Gotcha.
You got to understand that right now George Zimmerman is being treated for post-traumatic stress disorder, depression. He's not the man that I knew before that shooting. He's not the man that I saw the week before that shooting. Okay, and he never will be again.
Well, I'll tell you, he'll never be the man before the shooting, but the reality is Trayvon Martin also is dead and we'll never see him again. So, I mean, the reality is George Zimmerman is still alive.
Roland, we've got a horrible, horrible tragedy on our hands. And the reason why I stepped out in front is because George is not a racist. This was not a case of racism or profiling.
Let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
Let me ask you this question. George Zimmerman's father gave an interview last night where he described what took place. In a television interview, you said the gun may have gone off. It might have been an accident. But the reality is, according to even the police report, that's not what Zimmerman ever said. He clearly stated that he shot. So why did you make the statement that the gun might have gone off when the police report was clear that he shot him? And Zimmerman's father even was clear saying that he shot Trayvon.
Because when I made that comment, the police report had not been released, and I had not gone into details with George about what happened. Since then, I asked him to go through it with me, what happened after he met with Trayvon. In fact, what happened after, you know, he got out of the van. And that's the information that was let out tonight. And, you know, that's the whole thing. The reason why I spoke to him the first time was to know for myself that I was doing the right thing. Okay, I knew before I spoke to him that George is not a racist. Okay,
I knew
before I spoke to him that there was a young man dead.
Right,
and I had to know for myself that he's dead because someone was going to die that night.
My whole issue here is not the question of who was racist and who wasn't. And Skip, on your end, please give me about three or four more minutes, please, before we normally cut off, if we can. Joe, let me ask you this. The video has come out from ABC News showing Zimmerman coming out of the police car going into the station. He said that he had a broken nose, that the police report said that his back was wet, there were grass stains, his nose was bleeding, but there's no evidence on that video of blood on the back of his head, on the shirt as well. Did he go to, first of all, how do you explain that? And did he go to the hospital to be treated? Is there a doctor's report showing that his nose was reset that night or sometime later?
I don't know about a doctor's report, but I do know that video was 4 hours after the incident and that George was treated at the scene by police on the scene and cleaned up there.
Now, but if you got a broken
video,
nose.
If you roll in, may I finish?
Right, go ahead.
If you watch the video, you'll see that as they're standing at the back of the police car, one of those police officers takes a long, hard look at the back of George's head.
Right, okay. But if someone's head was slammed against the concrete several times, according to his father, for over a minute, you would think you would see more evidence of cuts, of bruises. But also, if you have a broken nose, even if it was treated on the scene, then you also would have the nose taped up. You would have something, but to have nothing on his face to indicate there was even a broken nose, that's problematic.
The broken nose wasn't diagnosed until the next day when he went to the doctor.
Wait a minute. So you're saying on the night, so he went to the doctor the next day?
That he was treated for his broken nose. You know, I've got broken cartilage in my own nose, too, and that could be considered a broken nose. And
okay,
but
no. Hold on a second. Broken cartilage in a nose is not a broken nose. I mean,
okay,
so...
I'll grant you that, but, you know, understand also that this is a man who's going through a very traumatic experience at that time, and he's trying to figure out what's going on. And
so is the Trayvon Martin family. I mean, I understand the...
find out what's going on, Roland.
No, I understand that.
Hang on, Roland. Yeah. Let me say one more thing, and then I'll let you ask your question. But the problem is, what's happening with George and Trayvon isn't the root of our cause. What's happening with George and Trayvon isn't what's... Well, isn't the reason why everybody is out there? It's what's happened in the past, the decades of injustice and prejudice.
No, not true. Joe, here's the deal. We are not going to get into a debate with regards to the motives of other people. I'm going to specifically deal with the facts of as you stepping out there, speaking on Zimmerman's behalf, and offering his account. And so we can have that conversation separately. Let me ask you this, lastly. You approached Zimmerman's attorney to speak out, and you've left your job to speak out. Is that correct?
No, I'm still employed.
So are you on leave or are you still working? So you said previously, though, that you left your job to help Zimmerman.
I have gotten permission from my employers to help. And, you know, the problem with this is the longer this goes, yeah, the more my job becomes in peril, because just like everyone who is involved with this, there's an element of fear.
All right, Joe. We certainly appreciate it. Thanks a lot. And I'm sure we're going to have more questions. And we also can't wait to actually hear George Zimmerman tell his story as opposed to surrogates telling their story. Thanks a bunch. We certainly appreciate it.
And thank you, Roland. We appreciate you, bro.